This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone in your family has been injured at work, visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.
Welcome to another edition of the Ned and Josh podcast. Great to have you here.
Absolute pleasure.
Do you think anybody's listening to this with more than one person? Podcasts are like a one-person thing, in the headphones, in the car by yourself. Do you reckon there's a group listening to this right now?
I don't know, but if you are listening to it with more than one person, on the count of three, put your hand up for who you think is the better driver out of however many people are there. Ready? Three, two, one. And enjoy that fight.
And you know what? If the driver didn't put their hands up, they default win. Hands are 10 and 2. Yeah. They are the better driver.
They're being safe.
Yeah, very, very good. And if no one's in a car right now, weirdest thing we've ever done.
Incredibly strange.
Hey, I will say this is going to be a good edition of the podcast because we've had some bad ones. This is going to be a good one.
It's going to be one of the good
we've
ones.
We've got literally a debate that we had to have over whether or not when you just barbecue meat, you deserve credit for, quote, cooking dinner.
Are you actually cooking?
Or is it just too easy? Is that too easy of a thing to deserve credit for?
That's exactly right. We also brought back for the second time the most intense game that we play. It's the TikTok game.
Yeah, very, very exciting to
see. Also, Arnott's, if you want to sponsor us, please.
Get on board.
Yeah.
Get on board. And speaking of food, which we've done twice already now, I also have worked out that they're in my quest to find an establishment that won't make me feel bad for having a kid's meal as an adult. I found a meal that even I'm not stingy enough to try and scam out of a pub.
It's not to do with any kind of embarrassment or anything. No. It's just,
I've got to draw the line. I've got to draw the line somewhere. Yeah. Enjoy Thursday's edition of the podcast.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
The internet has wholeheartedly enjoyed the announcement of a brand new music festival. It's happening in Vegas in October this year. Sucks for us a little bit, but it's called When We Were Young. And I think it's taken the internet by storm so much because it's...
Is it the Killers? Is it just them playing that one song over and over and over again?
The Killers
from Vegas.
It's the Killers and Adele both doing their versions of the same song.
Yep, fantastic.
No, it's essentially When We Were Young. It's the band's When We Were Young, like the... I don't know. The emo music, I suppose. I hate to call it that because I know people don't like calling
it's
that.
It's deeper than just that, my friend.
It's My Chemical Romance.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Obviously huge. They're already coming here, though.
They coming to Australia was big enough news on their own. So this is they're just the headliners of a festival. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if they're headliners because they're also matched with Paramore.
Paramore? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They're headlining. They're big top ones.
But then, of course, you've got your lower key bands or lower key acts.
From this same era?
Yeah, like unknowns like Avril Lavigne.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. AFI.
AFI.
Yeah. You've got some stuff, just like The Used and stuff.
It's just
The Used.
Bands that no one's ever heard of.
Oh, my God.
You've also got, like, Bring Me the Horizon, The Day to Remember and stuff like that. They've got these enormous bands, Jimmy Eat World.
I'm going to Google it. Let me Google it.
You go and have a look because here's the problem. I'm really excited.
The graphics are already neon pink and black. That's fantastic.
They've gone for it. They've
gone for it. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is like 45 bands from this era.
It really is like the top tier bands from, I don't know, 2005 to 2007.
Alkaline Trio.
Yeah, there you go.
All American Rejects.
Here's the problem. When I lived in Spain for 2 years, and it was essentially when all these bands became very popular. I know who AFI is because of Guitar Hero 3.
Yeah,
but like,
right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Other ones I...
Hawthorne Heights?
See, I don't know who these people are. I feel like I'm missing out. I'm missing out on a party the internet's been invited to, and I've missed out. My invite got lost in the mail.
Betray you.
Oh, 15 years ago.
This is actually huge. Yeah. This is, for people my exact age, this is like all your high school music in
Pierce
one festival.
Veil.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Anne Boleyn. This is obscure. The Unwinding Cable Car, I don't think has ever been played on Hit 104.7. You know, actually, I've just seen this. You know who is standing out here almost doesn't make sense? 303.
God, and they're one of the ones I do know.
Yeah. They just randomly slapped in there with all the other very...
It's like, if you missed out, if you just like the techno beat of this genre.
If you want a break from the heavy music, go and have a bit of a boogie to 303.
What is going on
with this festival? This is literally just like every band that probably hasn't had a big run in a while getting a massive festival.
You know what? Here's my theory, and I hadn't even thought of it until just now. I reckon these bands have all witnessed Travis Barker over the last couple of years.
Ah, smart.
Essentially become the most famous person on planet Earth. And so they're just like, you know what?
Let's get back in on that.
He's the drummer.
and he's famous.
Or
Avril should be like, why am I not queen of
everything right now?
I'm Avril. I'm the Avril.
My band name font is also neon pink.
Yeah, exactly.
And black. What are we doing?
What's
why
up?
Am I? You know what I actually think has happened?
Yeah.
The world's gone through a lot over the last 2 years, and we all need to sing with a sort of whiny American twang at the top of our lungs. That's what we all need together. It'll be a catharsis.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
It is in the studio. Raining TikTok biscuits.
It most certainly is. This is a game where I've picked out a TikTok biscuit out of the packet.
Here you go.
High intensity this game.
You have to get on the phone 131060 if you think you know what time it is. Maybe you just heard the segment then and you're like, for some reason,
I have a feeling
6:45 is just sticking out in my mind.
Well, there's
I don't
a guess
why.
That you know is not going to be a guess now.
Or is it? Did I make it
it's
so
not.
Obvious?
It's not.
Yeah, it's not. Not. It's really, not. Yeah, it's really
so that's
not.
A time you now know.
Yeah.
And that's very, very good news for Roz from Franklin. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning. How are we?
Good, thank
good,
you.
Roz. Now, Roz.
Well, we're not you, Roz. You are so nervous right now with this time guess in your hands. We don't have to worry about the guess. How are you, more importantly?
I was okay until I heard you say that other time.
Yeah,
no, that's fine.
Oh, my gosh.
Roz,
these tickets to the movies, by the way, are yours already.
Yeah, so,
you've already won them.
So this is all theatre of the mind. But, Roz, how often would you say, outside of the TikTok Thunderdome, how often are you eating TikTok biscuits on a day-to-day or a week-to-week? Or
when I was a youngster, oh, my gosh, all the time, but probably not for about 5 years, I reckon.
Look, it's in your blood, though. It's in your genes, I think you've eaten. What's your favourite flavour?
Absolutely. Yellow.
Oh, look, this
is
white.
That's not a common choice, actually. I'd say most people go for the pink flavour,
The three of us would get along great because we all have a different flavour.
Yeah,
and we don't have one to take one of yellows. So,
look,
perfect, Roz. All right. Enough funny business.
I'm going to go for not your time.
Good.
Because just in case, and I've got two times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking it's 2:00.
2:00. For Roz.
Mm-hmm.
It's 10:1.
Hey, that was it. That was a lot. It was a lot of a build up for a new episode.
Those arms are close.
Yeah, no.
They are. When you said it, I was like, close.
I'm kind of in the same ballpark.
Yeah.
It's not like it was 10:30 or something.
All right, Roz. Now,
I was nearly going 10:2, but.
We've had some fun here. We've had some laughs. There is a TikTok biscuit here that needs to be eaten. I think you should just choose if you would like Josh to eat it or me to eat it.
Oh, I think you did that legwork to get them. You can have the first one.
I was also, by the way, Roz, to let you in behind the scenes, Ned's been picking at the icing on the back with his fingers.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have been eating that biscuit even if you'd picked me.
That was a win-win overlay.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Hey, Ned, look, I've been doing a bit of thinking lately. You and I are obviously taking every precaution possible when it comes to COVID-19.
Yeah.
But I now know dozens of people who have had it.
Yep.
That used to be I knew one person who'd had it, and that was one in the whole 2 years. I now know dozens in the last 2 months. So
about 20 of my friends have gotten it.
Probably coming at some stage for us.
Yes.
No matter how much we try to be all, but we've been double vaxxed. So the hope is you get it, you stay home for 7 days, and you're fine at the end of it.
Yeah.
With that in mind, I would like to discuss something that I've been doing. I've been spending a bit of time knowing that probably this my spin of the wheel will come up at some point for COVID. My social media presence during that time, I've been workshopping it a little bit because it's all getting a bit samey, I will say.
From people in ISO.
People who have COVID.
Yeah.
Everyone's posting the same kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, there's obviously not a lot to do when you're quite sick.
Just posting what, like, are you talking about the stuff that's like, oh, day three, last night was awful, got the chills, got the shivers, but
I'm happy with those because I'm liking to see the variations of what everyone's going through because I'm like, oh, okay, this is kind of preparing me. I'm talking about, like, looking out a window and seeing, like, a truck go past and be like, ah, oh, day three. And I'm like, nah, this has been done. It's been done, quite frankly. We've all seen it before. Like, that's. I just want to workshop some other funny things you could be doing. Like, you know.
So you don't want the reminiscing of, like, oh, my freedom. It was just a distant memory.
Because that's like, and I know people are kind of like joking, like being trapped inside for 7 days is the worst thing on earth. And that's the joke. They'll put emotional music with like leaf falling gifs and stuff like that. It's been done.
Mm-hmm.
It's been done. And so I'm now trying to think, and this is a way I'm spending quite a bit of my time at the moment.
Yeah.
Almost Pinterest style. What would I do? I'm seeing other people's social media posts going, oh, I like that. That's different. Yeah. I haven't seen that one before. Maybe I'll take a bit of that as inspiration. Do this, do that. I haven't thought of anything yet, and I've been thinking about this for weeks. So, admittedly, I can understand why people are all posting the same kind of thing. There's not a lot to post, but we do need to change it up a little bit. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know if you saw my eyes glaze over then. Yeah. As my brain was trying to think of the stupidest thing I could say, I've come up with something that you could do.
Well, just something you've never seen by somebody?
Something I've never seen. Yeah, okay. And it would almost be like, it'd be a fun way to burn time. It's also a bit of a social experiment. You find out who your real friends are and stuff. Every single day of ISO, you shave not even like a centimeter, maybe like 50 millimeters of your eyebrow off and see how far you get across until people are like, are you shaving your eyebrow off? And you go, what do you mean?
And people
it's gone.
People aren't even watching. Yeah. What I was going to do also, what I was going to do is I was actually going to try and put up like 15 posts in a day and see which of my friends made it through all 15.
Yeah, not many.
People dropping off as you go.
Yeah,
you know what would be a good social experiment? And if you're on day one of ISO, please do this. Ask every day for someone to bring you something and see if anyone will do it.
Yeah.
People are like, you know what? You're kind of on your own, buddy.
Yeah, sorry. You don't need anything. You're good.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
I have spoken before on the show quite seriously and then also kind of flippantly because I feel like it's how I have to look at it in my life. It's just this thing that's always with me. I get fairly bad anxiety. So about different things. I find myself overthinking a topic or just really worrying about stuff. But I've discovered the stupidest one that I ever do.
Okay.
I randomly thought about it this morning because I had to use the toilet here at work. And I thought, you know what? I'm actually going to bring that up because this is I think this is like a baseline for the stupidest thing that isn't my problem at all.
Yeah.
And it stresses me out.
I don't even know what it could be in the toilet. I mean, the toilets are pretty gross, but in terms of anxiety inducing things, I can't actually think of one.
When I go to a hotel where the entire mechanism for the toilet is like behind the wall. Do you ever know like how you just push the button sometimes?
The
and it's like in the wall?
Yes.
Or there'll be like a little shelf and it'll just be inside that tiled in shelf with no way of accessing
where you can't see, you essentially can't see the water thing
that
behind it.
That stresses me out so much.
Because
I'm like, if the toilet gets clogged, how do they get in there? Do they have to break into the wall? Is there a wall behind this wall?
Yeah.
Is one of the tiles a trapdoor tile? Like, I spend time every time I see that thinking about how it works. I don't just see it and ignore it.
Are you worried? Are you just thinking about the concept of it? Or are you worried that something's going to happen to your toilet and this?
Oh, God, no, because it's not my problem.
That's what I was going to say.
It's a hotel room. If I ever saw an apartment, though, because a lot of modern apartments have this as well, I don't think I'd buy the place based off just that.
Well,
I'd
mean, they would probably tell you.
If you ask, they tell you. Yeah. How does that not involve more plumbing work to fix that if something goes wrong?
Well, I'm sure it does, but maybe that's it. Maybe it's a sign of wealth that you and I aren't even aware of. It's like when you don't even have a water holder behind it.
Yeah.
It's just in the wall.
It's in the wall.
That's, well, but once
how
again,
big's the water holder? How much could a flush be?
Well,
it's the size of a bathtub. What are we talking?
I think it's got to be the amount that's in the bowl. But don't you just solve most problems with a plunger? You just plunge until the problem's gone. That's that's been my experience.
If it's a bathtub-sized water canister behind that wall and you're plunging, could be in Kevin Costner's water world before you know it. I'm a little bit worried. I need to understand how this works. And this is where I wanted to bring this to a crescendo, my friend, because this is the most Googleable thing that I'm thinking about, that I'm spending any kind of time consuming my thoughts on, and I still haven't done it. For some reason, I've just never Googled the answer to this.
I guess it is kind of confusing because I was just about to Google it then, but I'm like, I don't even know what I would Google. Yeah. Where is the watery part of the toilet?
And that's how I know this is the dumbest thing I spend time thinking about. You can't even think of how to Google the answer.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, something that I get pretty paranoid about is talking in my sleep, doing anything in my sleep, really.
I've got myself one of those recorders that records you sleeping, and all I've found out is that I turn over at night so aggressively that it triggers the microphone in my phone.
Yeah.
I'm like a dolphin. I just flip.
And that's exactly what I do as well. I was just noticing that I was waking up and just going like, ugh, and just like going. This is the thing. I don't sleep talk. I don't sleep walk. But just the thought of that being something that my brain could do scares me.
Mm.
Usually I hope, well, at the moment, not great because I live by myself, but I usually think it's like, well, if I got up or started just talking nonsense or revealing all of my secrets, I'd be with someone I cared
about.
Someone
to shape you awake.
Yeah,
like, what the hell are you doing?
What's going on?
I need to sleep.
This is what I thought was going to happen until I saw a news story of a guy who was sleeping next to his wife.
Mm.
She confessed to a crime that he was a little bit suspicious of.
Oh, okay.
She stole about $8,000 from like a retired old lady. She worked in like a retirement home, and she'd like kind of just stolen her card.
Yeah.
And she just confessed to it in her sleep. And the guy just was like, great, took her to the police. Was like, here you go.
That'll do.
Yep. Went into her wallet, found the old lady's credit card, and was like, great, fantastic. Police,
I would feel really weird if I found out my significant other was stealing from an old lady.
Yeah,
I'd be like,
odd.
What else are you capable of?
Yeah.
And this is next to stealing candy from a baby. This is about as bad as it gets.
It is. It's like stealing from the vulnerable.
This sucks. This is the start of something really bad. So I'm just going to get out of this now, is probably what he's thinking.
He was like, so he's a father of three, which also is pretty rough for them. But they went on a holiday trip to Mexico, and while they're in Mexico, apparently she just had all of this money, and she was like, "Ah, don't worry about it." If you were like, it's clearly eating her alive. If she's talking about it in her sleep,
she's very guilty.
Like, surely you would pay. I mean, you've got the money. Go and like go to therapy or go to like a confessional booth or something. Get it off your chest, because clearly, if it's eroding your brain, it's eventually going to come out in some way.
your goal here is to help the person stealing money from the retirement home resident.
It's not my goal, because she's in prison.
Her conscience, not. Stop that from happening, which was her husband's goal.
I'm just trying to work around the thing that's a problem in my life. Which I'm worried about sleep talking. Just go to therapy.
Stop stealing money from pensioners.
Fair enough. Yeah.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, there is a guy named Dwayne Johnson, The Rock.
If you smile, what The Rock is cooking.
Very nice.
Yeah, no, I just had to get that up there.
The Rock, if you're familiar through his wrestling, his acting, maybe even his song that he did on TikTok a couple of months ago, whichever way you cut it, Dwayne's the man. And he...
if you're only familiar through the song, you're going to have different feelings than the rest of us have about The Rock.
Yeah. Actually, give him a second chance if you've heard his song.
Maybe suss some of his old wrestling promos. They were great.
Watch him in interviews. He's very charismatic. Anyway, he was doing a podcast the other day, obviously doing it from home, the socially distanced way to do interviews now. The thing that I don't like, it's such a catch-22. The thing I do like about the at-home interviews is you get to kind of see like behind the celebrities. You got to see what they're about a little bit. Like Jason Sudeikis, I remember he did an interview in his like personal library, and he had like stormtrooper helmets on the thing.
That's pretty cool.
I'm like, that's sick. That's super cool.
I've also seen some of my heroes do interviews from their office, and it's like disheveled.
Yeah.
And so I sit there and go, oh, cool. If Aaron Sorkin's office looks like crap, then my spare bedroom isn't that bad.
Yeah.
It's fine.
I mean, you don't have an Oscar yet. But
no, that's true. That's a good point.
But still, you're on your way. Yeah, no, but I also, the thing I don't like about it is seeing how rich these celebrities are, and it's like, damn, you really are just flexing on everyone. The Rock falls into the second category, because in this interview for this podcast, in the background is Stan, the most expensive Tyrannosaurus Rex skull ever.
Wow.
That sold for $31.8 million in October last year. It's in the Rock's, just in the background of Rock's apartment. He's just, and then some guy's like, oh, is that a T-Rex skull? And he's like, oh, yeah, that's Stan. Good old Stan. It's the best skull they've ever been able to find.
I'm going to tell like a dumb little bit of trivia here about this. And what I want you to do is think of, because this is where I want this to go. I want to ask you what you would buy now, if money wasn't an object. Mm-hmm. If you just wanted something cool in your house to look at, because I've got mine, you've got yours. Here's, while you give you a bit of thinking time, The Rock's former boss, Vince McMahon, has a T-Rex skull in his office.
Mm.
Like, it's a fairly well-known bit of wrestling nerd fandom.
Yeah.
The Rock's gone and bought the most expensive one in the world. How is that not a middle finger to his former boss?
Huge.
That's fantastic.
It's very, very, very cool.
I went to Movie World over the Christmas break, and they've got a big Batman display on there at the moment. Like, you know, all the movies, all the history, there's Batmobiles there. I know for a fact that if I was like Bezos rich, I would buy a Batmobile. Like, for no other reason than just to put it in a garage and go and look at it occasionally, I would buy... Honestly, probably the Batman Forever Batmobile.
Okay, a lot of lights in it. Yeah, very, very cool. Look, so we don't have the same answer, I would buy
it. Was that what you were going to say?
No, but it's vehicle related. I was going to get a DeLorean.
100%. That's pretty cool. That's
I would get a DeLorean that like opens up and has a flux capacitor in it. Obviously not a time traveling one, but I think buying a skull of a dinosaur that lived 200 million years ago is pretty rad.
Pretty badass.
It's pretty sick. Especially, I mean, how do you not make jokes as well if you're The Rock and you have a fossil? You're like, I mean, I'm The Rock. I'll eventually be the fossil.
Hey, woohoo!
I'd say, have spent $31 million for that joke, but it's good.
I'll never get in the kind of shape the Rock's in, so I'm going to change my answer. Yeah. If I get Bezos rich, I'm buying the Rock skull. Like the actual T-Rex skull he's got, I'm going to buy that from him.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Honest answer.
Okay.
Required from you right now.
Right.
How many times did it take you to get your driving lesson done, ticked off?
The physical one or the written one for my
physical
L's?
Physical one.
Physical one, once. Did it once, nailed it. I was also 23, so it would have been embarrassing if I didn't nail it once. And the guy also said, I wouldn't have passed you, but he's like, you're old enough that you are past the point of being a hooligan on the streets, so I'm just going to give it to you anyway.
There is only one time in my life where this job and the tiny little bit of a profile I can give you around town has worked for me, and it was when I was 17, living in my town. I was doing the radio already, and the driving instructor listened to the show, and she was like, oh, well, that's already a fail, because apparently I did something in the first 12 seconds. I think it was something to do with the red light.
Yeah,
I hit a dog. No, something in the red light, and she's gone, ah, I like you. You can have another go. And I was like, she's like, I would never do that for anyone else.
Wow.
I think she's probably not even a driving instructor anymore, so hopefully can't get her into trouble. But yeah, that was wildly unprofessional.
No, but good on her. I mean, I guess.
Technically two times for me.
Yeah.
Technically twice, right. But on paper once.
Once. You only did it once.
How could you feel? Maybe she hated the show. She's like, well, send him out into the world.
Yeah.
And he can't drive.
This problem will solve itself.
This problem will solve itself. Hey, anyway, there's a lady over in the UK. The reason I'm asking this question is because there's a lady who failed her driving test and then in the UK Googled the UK's easiest driving test.
Right.
Traveled 500 miles. So I don't know if that's like 8,000 kilometers or something.
It's
I don't know.
750 kilometers roughly.
Amazing. Amazing. Traveled that far to go to this test.
Yeah.
And then failed that test.
At the easiest one.
At the easiest one. It has like one roundabout, which apparently are her worst enemy. Like she hates roundabouts,
really?
This lady. But cannot get the roundabout done.
Yeah.
But went to this place because there's no parallel parking. There's no, like the town the driving test is done in is missing so much stuff.
Right.
That you can just ace this driving test.
Yeah, and she didn't.
The roundabout stuffed it up.
Do you reckon if you fail that one, it's like, okay, cool. This is like your Hail Mary test. It's like, if you want to go and do this one first, that's okay. That's fine. But if you don't get your driver's license first go on this, you never get your driver's license.
Yeah, I think that's true.
I think you're one and done with this exact test.
You're certainly not allowed to drive in Canberra if you can't handle that driving test.
Yeah.
I find the whole idea of a driving test so subjective too, because, and this is, if you're on, if you've got kids at the moment who are doing their P's, their L's, whatever, or you are someone who's just doing their L's, their P's, whatever, know that you have somebody in your world, or you are that person, that is more across the road rules than any normal driver.
Mm-hmm.
My cousin was doing his P's the other day, and he was telling me, he's like, oh, you didn't indicate out of that thing. I'm like, you don't have to do that. He's like, yes, you do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wait a minute. Yes, I do. I never do. If you are doing your driving test, you are a more qualified driver than anyone else right now.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
We're joined by producer Michael because the question I'm about to ask is too much of a free swing for you to make fun of me. So I needed some backup. Now, you also enjoy making fun of me, Michael. So I really do. That is why this is a dangerous, dangerous tightrope for me to walk. But I just need some honesty from both of you because I'm actually going to make fun of myself.
Well, then that's even easier for us.
It's praise that I don't think I deserved.
Okay.
But maybe I do. And that's what I want to ask you guys right now, because this is something that a lot of people get praised for, and I'm not sure it's necessarily what it's billed to be.
Praiseworthy.
Yeah.
Right.
I went for dinner at my girlfriend's house the other night, and she just made like all of this stuff to go with the meal. So all of like salads
as
and all this.
Say, the deep south.
It was fantastic. It was absolutely fantastic. All of that stuff was done by her. She did basically 70% of the meal, right?
Mm-hmm.
I went out and barbecued the meat.
Okay.
So there was burgers and sausages, and I just flipped them.
Yeah.
So I flipped them around, cooked them.
Yeah.
At the end of the meal, she said to me, she was like, thanks for cooking dinner, babe.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to her, I didn't. I stood out at the barbecue for 10 minutes and flipped meat.
I got warm in front of a heat.
You absolutely cooked the meal. The things are required ingredients and preparation and all.
Yeah.
She gave me a tray of the meat. I didn't even get the meat myself. I was just handed a tray. So like, I don't think I cooked dinner.
Did you say
she wanted to give me the praise for cooking dinner? I was like, I don't think I did. And she argued. She went, no, you cooked dinner. The part that needed cooking, you cooked dinner. And I was like, I know you're trying to be lovely right now, but I didn't cook dinner. I flipped burgers for literally 10 minutes.
My question is, did you respond to her by going, no, thank you for cooking dinner, babe?
I did. I said, no, you cooked dinner. Okay, yeah, that's what I said.
I was going to say, because it does sound like she's leading you to water.
A semi-argument about whether or not what I did constitutes cooking dinner.
Yeah. I'll say yes, because...
Are you saying I deserve the praise?
Well, it sounds like barely praise, and it's the exact kind of praise you deserve. It's like, it's like you're on the right track kind of praise.
Keep going,
It's like you're not there.
I think it's very similar to when if someone says they baked but they used packet mix.
Yeah. Which I also did the other day. I made muffins.
You do a lot.
No, so that's... Okay, so that's not baking, in your opinion.
It's like building a house out of Lego and saying, thanks for building a house from
not
scratch.
Really, though.
Kind of.
Look, you put, like, in that situation, you put it
Can
in
I
the
just
oven
say quickly, just a side note, you do realize builders don't go out and chop the trees down themselves and turn that... They also buy pieces and assemble them into...
I'm sorry, Michael's making a point here.
Okay, very good.
We moved on past what I said.
Don't crap on Lego.
No. This is about you, not me.
I would say it barely passes as cooking.
Yeah, okay.
But
you
were very right to say no, thank you.
You for cooking dinner. Yeah,
if you'd have taken it in full swing, that's a bad look.
I stood up from the table and bowed and gone, thank you, praise
finally,
me.
Finally, the praise
I deserve.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone in your family has been injured at work, visit MEJ.com.au.
Hit 104.7.